First, let me wish you a happy Valentine's Day. I know it's terribly commercialised and all that, but I can't help liking a day to celebrate love. It seems unlikely that today's celebration of romantic love has much to do with the one or two martyred bishops called Valentine from the earliest of Christian days. It seems much more likely that we celebrate romance because the Feast of St. Valentine coincided with the day on which the folk of the past believed that birds started to get frisky. All I can say is, with all this snow and icy weather this week, I hope our feathered friends are not too turned off. Whatever your experience of romantic love, rather brilliantly, we have another reminder today in this service that we are beloved. In addition to being St. Valentine's, today it is also the last Sunday before Lent, and the Gospel reading from Mark for this service is an account of the transfiguration of Jesus. Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he took with him three of his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John. While Jesus was praying, his appearance changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. I love the added description, such as no one on earth could bleach them. Proper whiter than white, whitey whiteness, glowy stuff, reminding me of the snow we had earlier in the week. Starts all glowy, can become a bit sludgy, but that first snow dazzliness is what we're reminded of in this reading. Apart from washing powder adverts, does that description of dazzling whiteness link you to any other dazzling white descriptions that you can think of? Well, one of the things I'm reminded of, probably because of the snow this week, is the angels who appeared after the resurrection. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 2, we hear, "His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow." Of course, this doesn't mean that Jesus was an angel, but it points our minds forward towards the events of the resurrection and, of course, to the divine nature of Jesus. At the Transfiguration, we also have Moses and Elijah joining the party, and they're also shining in glory and speaking to Jesus about what he was soon to do in Jerusalem. Of course, both Moses and Elijah were hugely important figures in Judaism, and it's interesting that their appearance with Jesus gives him a link to Jewish heritage authority. We're also pointed to Jesus going beyond that authority as we hear the voice of God saying to Jesus, "This is my son, the beloved, listen to him." So he's linked with his Jewish heritage and has authority in that, but something beyond that is what's indicated. Only last month, we remembered how Jesus and all of us through baptism are beloved as we explored Jesus's baptism in the River Jordan. And today we hear it again, beloved, such a lovely and profoundly important thing to remember that we are beloved on this National Day of Love. Red roses and cards are nice, I love it all, but this kind of deep love, belovedness, is cause for celebration every day. We are all beloved. So this slightly crazy story and wonderful snowy white image story of the Transfiguration points us forward to Jesus' resurrection and gives us a flavour of his divine nature. And it also reminds us of his baptism. This story also tells us that Jesus is both connected with the Jewish tradition and yet is something entirely new that goes beyond Moses and Elijah. The Transfiguration is a point of change, a connection with the old and the traditional and the movement towards the new, which is probably why it's the chosen reading for the Sunday before Lent, the point at which we're all getting ready to keep Lent in some way, where we're looking back and forward. I love that today, the Sunday before Lent, is also Valentine's Day, this day of love, because it's a day to remember again that we are beloved. As we think about this Transfiguration, it's important to remember that it is love which changes us. Love from our creation and our beginning, and love as we journey towards new birth and new life. Love, God's love, transfigures us. God's love changes us. So now we're looking towards Lent. And this week we have Ash Wednesday with a short Zoom service at 8 p.m. if any want to join us. And we'll be starting together our Lenten pilgrimage to Easter. The point of any pilgrimage is not just to arrive at the destination, but to engage with the process of change along the way. As Christians, we're always moving and in constant process. We tread the path of constantly aligning ourselves with God's love. What will your Lenten action be, I wonder? Lent should not be about self-punishment or self-hatred and denial. It's about being profoundly and deeply loved, beloved. Lent is about aligning ourselves in God's love. So what beautiful and lovely thing can you do this Lent to feel that you are beloved and valued and precious and aligned with God's love? It doesn't necessarily mean it should be easy. Sacrifice, if done well and with loving intention, can bring about incredible transformation. Just think about the wonderful world of health and fitness. It's a gift to make yourself feel good and healthy, but it isn't always easy. Loving ourselves can mean giving up things we like because it helps us to be more healthy in body, mind and soul. If giving up chocolate connects you to feeling beloved of God and draws you closer to God's love and helps you to show yourself how lovely you are in God's image, then it indeed is a good Lenten discipline. However, if it simply punishes you for enjoying some nice sweet stuff, then it's not a good idea. I hope that you can reflect on something for Lent that is profoundly loving, something new, or stopping something that is harmful, or helps you reflect more about yourself, your community. Whatever you choose to do, you need to actively change as we journey with God. What can you do to draw closer to God's love day by day, remembering that we are all beloved? Amen.